full fours in the books, and the Warriors keep the Nanomites winless, setting up a battle with Zack and the Fighting Zartan. The Teal Ninjas have looked to recover strong from their Chucko win, but can they keep it up? And finally, Jamie, having failed to one-up their competition yet again going to Week 4. All this and more from the AT&T U-verse Studios. It's this week's edition of What's On Joe Mind Fantasy Football Championship Edition.
As with the regular NFL, we can offer up a hearty, what the hell's going on out here in the What's On Joe Mind Fantasy Football League?
What the hell's going on out here?
Let's go back and take a look at Week 2. Okay, we'll start it off early. What turned out to be the game of the week, Gary's Boss Fight t-shirt. Owner Jamie Johnson throwing 110 on the board.
Which should win in any other case.
Serious display, only to give up 114 to the Teal Ninjas. Tommy Fauntleroy has decided to avenge the Chucko. So what I understand, that is what is spray painted on the halls of the locker room in the Teal Ninja Stadium. Avenge the Chucko. 25 points at Aaron Rodgers. You got 20 out of ODB. You had a great game, Jamie. I mean, there's no answers for you. The bench, you had the right guys on the bench. You know, Tannehill had 27, but that's you start Aaron Rodgers over Ryan Tannehill at every opportunity. So that doesn't matter. I mean, no offense to Ryan Tannehill, but Aaron Rodgers is the best in the game. He just had an answer for everything. He had 22 points out of the Broncos defense.
What?
Yeah. Well, they keep scoring.
Well, they keep hitting people late in the game and picking it up and running it in for the game-winning touchdown.
20 points on Teddy Bridgewater and the 8-man defensive front for Detroit. And that's not to say that they have 8 men on the line. They just have 8 men total because they don't play any kind of defense. 27 out of Antonio Brown because Antonio Brown is ridiculous. There's nothing you could do with that, man. Like I said, you made all the right moves. You should have won that game. You hit the wrong guy.
It's the junk touchdown by Jordan Matthews at the end of the Cowboys game that sunk me. The junk touchdown.
You know what they call that, right? Garbage time.
Garbage time.
You know what's even worse is they had the touchdown, they had a penalty, called it back, then scored the Jordan Matthews junk touchdown.
That's called garbage confirmation.
What type of revenge have you tried to exact on Jordan Matthews since?
He plays for Chip Kelly. I just figure that's a pain in enough bad as is.
Yeah, I mean, fair enough. Moving forward, in a battle of new powers, Zach Hoffman, Seattle Dreadnoughts. Put down the Charlottesville Keelhauls and Dan Uthman, 93-74.5. The elusive half point for Uthman's squad. But Zach Hoffman, again, for a guy who wrote to us talking about how much he didn't know what he was doing, he seems to know what he's doing.
We are being hustled.
We are totally being hustled. Negative 1 point from Jeremy Hill for Charlottesville.
Yeah. So far in the Jeremy Hill sweepstakes, Gary 1, Jamie 0.
Yes. This podcast officially outscored Jeremy Hill last week. Larry Fitzgerald had his big week with 29 points.
What's up with that?
Yeah. Turn back the clock. Larry Fitzgerald's enjoying Carson Palmer's company.
Dude was ranked 108th in the draft. If he keeps that up, he is a value pick.
I think he's already a value pick because he's gotten Zach 2 wins because he's been awesome for 2 weeks.
We'll see if he can do it for 3 weeks.
Carson Palmer's a pro. You know, he doesn't have to be a great quarterback. He just has to be okay because that defense is going to keep them in about every game. And if he goes out there and plays league average quarterback football, Arizona's going to be okay. And Larry Fitzgerald's a Hall of Famer. He knows how to get open. He doesn't have the jets like he used to. He's not as physical as he used to be, but he knows how to find space. He knows what to do with the football afterwards. 29 points for Fitzgerald in their big game over the Bears. It doesn't hurt there that the Bears are the worst defensive team I think I've seen all season.
Ironically here, if we had started Torrey Smith as opposed to Jeremy Hill in the flex spot, we have a winner in the Keelhauls.
True. You take a look at the Keelhauls bench, and that is 20 points for Torrey Smith that just wound up riding the pine. That's a tough miss.
Another fine start for Marcus Mariota. 19 points from your quarterback. You'll take it.
Yeah, especially from a rookie in week 2. I mean, you're kind of gambling a little bit putting him in that spot. But, you know, it's going to be Mariota an awful lot going forward for Zach's team because Jay Cutler will be on the shelf for a few weeks.
I'm about to say he doesn't have much of an alternative.
No, unless there's a waiver pickup that we haven't done our homework for yet. But, you know, congratulations to Seattle on a strong start. We love to accommodate our celebrities by allowing them to hustle us.
2-0.
I'd also like to point out I would have beaten both teams.
Yes.
Next up,
it's Oregon Outpost 788 with 87 over the Chuckbusters 77. Chuckbusters favorites on the road, not taken to home.
Gary, you want to take a first crack at the Colts offense?
What Colts offense?
Yeah, that's good. That's good. But yeah, the Chuckbusters, you'd have thought they're off to a tough start, 0-2, and not scoring a lot of points at 0-2 either, and that is all Andrew Luck getting out of the gate looking terrible. Dolphins defense put up the goose egg, so again, our podcast is a value pick. If you're going to go with the Dolphins defense, go with the What's on Joe Mind Fantasy Football defense instead.
We will break even there, guaranteed.
Yeah. Good play in the flex spots. He still had Steve Smith on the bench with his 15 points, but essentially Ben Roethlisberger just carried Oregon Outpost to this one with 36 points. You don't beat that one.
Not very often.
No, it's tough. That's tough to do more than 36.
I could have beat it. I could have beat the Oregon Outpost.
Well, sure, but you weren't beating 36 points out of the quarterback.
But you're not beating Big Ben.
Go to the bench, he had Matthew Stafford and his 22 points, and then that was just sitting there. The Bills defense putting up -2 last week for Oregon Outpost 788. That's not going to happen very often.
Oh, I would have backed that out, seeing that he was going to play the Patriots. Oh, man, I would have not played that. Not at all.
Truthfully, the Bills' defense got let down by their offense. There were some short fields to work with. They wound up taking it on the chin, unfortunately. Calvin Johnson had a big week, 15 points, and Demaryius Thomas had 11, and not much else going on. But that's all it took when Andrew Luck is going to go out and throw up 8. That's all you need.
Yep.
8 points from Andrew Luck. What's wrong with Andrew Luck?
Wow.
The answer is nothing's wrong with Andrew Luck. That team sucks around him.
The O-line sucks. Let's start there.
Yeah.
What was the stat? We've had 77 linemen since Luck became the starter.
That seems low. I'd have put that number at least 260.
Well, there you go.
But speaking of quarterbacks that try to beat 36 points, Darklonia gave it a whirl in their game against Pyramid of Touchdowns.
Woo!
Came up short anyway. Pyramid of Touchdowns, 111. Darklonia, 97. Tom Brady, though, 35 points on the Darklonia. We mocked him for being a homer.
We still will.
We will. You're allowed to be a homer if the dude's going to throw up like 70 in 2 weeks.
All right.
Now, the rest of that team. Eddie Lacy left with an injury, so we got to kind of give a pass there. But DeAndre Hopkins didn't do much.
I told you DeAndre Hopkins was not going to repeat that week one performance.
No, he's looking more and more like a guy who needs somebody to take some of the heat off him. He looks like one of those classic #2 receivers. Jordan Cameron didn't do anything for Miami. Good production out of the flex spots with Brandon Marshall playing the Colts. And Latavius Murray out in Oakland, who... Yeah, explain that game to me with the Raiders beating Baltimore. Whatever.
On the road.
On the road, no less. That Raiders team is, on paper, they're terrible.
But did you know that last year they were the #1 red zone offense in the league?
Huh. Really?
Yeah.
So they went, what, 3 for 3?
Derek Carr, the red zone last year, was 18 touchdowns and 1 pick.
I'm not dismissing your stat. I'm just making fun of the Raiders still. Pyramid of Touchdowns had just a good team effort here. Russell Wilson with 24. D'Angelo Williams had the big game in Pittsburgh. He had 26 against the Niners.
That might not happen again.
10 points for LeSean McCoy. 10 points for Stevie Johnson.
How about Amari Cooper?
Yeah, 16 in that Oakland win again. 16 points for Amari Cooper. Ravens defense, though, again, -2. This podcast outscoring the Ravens defense last week. 17 points out of Steven Goskowski. So we have our kicker hallmark for the week as well. And there you have it, Brian Greenwood. You live with the Patriots, you die by the Patriots.
Mostly die.
Well, you know. And moving forward, we have our our big scoring team of the week, Buffalo Wild Bills, 122, doubling up the RHPs with 56.
What happened, Rock? Well, I can tell you what happened.
Yeah,
Tony Romo's what happened.
Yeah, Tony Romo breaking the collarbone. And, I mean, let's face it, nothing was saving Rock this week, but that made it look that much uglier. You look down the run. Cam Newton had 29 points last week. Julio Jones, 13. Vincent Jackson had 11. Allen Robinson in Jacksonville, 27 points for Allen Robinson.
Okay. Never have another game like that for the remainder of the season.
Gary, I'll buy that one.
Yeah, that's
I'll buy that. I'll buy that.
He's a quality flex guy. He's going to give you 12 points a week, but if he's going to explode for 27, your team's probably winning that ballgame. And then 19 points out of the Cardinals defense against the hapless Bears and Jimmy Clausen. That's not a great-looking offense right now. I mean, they'll get there. They're just very young on the offensive side of the ball, but they're not doing anything without Jay Cutler. So you turn on the other side there, and Roddy White threw up the goose egg against the Giants. About the only thing that went right for the Giants that week. Jimmy Graham, 1 point, as Seattle continues to refuse to throw him the football. And, of course, A.J. Green, Matt Forte had decent week, 10 points apiece. But those guys with 10 points were Rock's highest-scoring guys.
But the important thing, the Alex Smith streak of not throwing a touchdown pass to a wide receiver, Jeremy Maclin, continues.
It is. One of those guys is going to get open at some point this season. It's got to happen once.
Well, you would figure that Maclin will just simply get open down the field once.
Yeah, at some point.
You would think for $9 million a year, he could get in the end zone from 50 yards out.
He'll have a safety or a quarterback accidentally trip.
He'll put a double move on some rookie corner and get free for one. You know, it's going to happen. But it is kind of fun to count the games until it does.
I'm interested to see what Rock does here with his quarterbacking situation. You're going to have to sit on Romo for 8 to 10 weeks. Once we get into the bye weeks, there's a lot of stuff to shuffle around, and Alex Smith is not much.
I believe he did drop Romo, and he did pick up Andy Dalton.
The Red Rifle.
The Red Rifle.
He was the best of what's around.
There's not much out there.
Yeah, from a fantasy standpoint, he's been okay this year. Really, It's September and October, so Andy Dalton's actually going to be a really good option for you.
On fire.
En fuego. In September and October. And then kind of, he loses it in November, finishes strong in December, and then is terrible in January. So that's that. I still say we're all entirely too tough on Andy Dalton, considering he's starting his fifth year in the league. Cincinnati Bengals are a franchise that has only made the playoffs 4 years in a row, once. And it coincides with Andy Dalton being their quarterback. It'll be interesting to see what he can do maybe this year. And this year, I've got to say, spotlight's on him this year. We're out of excuses for him this year. Because there's too many guys for him to throw to now in that offense to get away with rolling over in the playoffs the way he has. Moving forward on the schedule, we've got the horror show throwing 66 on the hapless New England Bazookas and their big 45 points.
You mean the no logins?
Yeah, the New England zeros.
Ugh.
Justin Bell, come on, man.
Come on, man!
Three players pull a zero, and they were listed as out anyway.
Yeah, the goose eggs. They're only 1 point out of Dan Carpenter, the kicker, which is not so good for a kicker. He had 16 points out of Phillip Rivers, 16 points from Adrian Peterson, and the rest of the roster had a combined 13.
Justin.
On the bench for Justin Bell, Carson Palmer's 28 points, and not much else, frankly. Golden Tate had 8 points, and that would have made him the second or the third highest scoring guy on the team. On the other side, 25 points out of Peyton Manning for the horror show.
Decent.
Caught a little bit of the vintage Peyton there. Hopefully he can keep that going. 15 for Jamal Charles, 11 points for Tyler Eifert in Cincinnati, and not much else. The horror show just lucked out. They didn't have a great game here either, but they caught the right guy at the right time who can't be bothered to log in, despite the fact that he's part of the main show.
He's this league's version of Taco.
He kind of is. That is an apt comparison.
I'd like to point out that if you added these two team scores, I almost beat them.
What do you have to show for that, Jamie?
I have nothing.
A loss.
I have nothing.
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 Log in, play the game, play it well, nothing. So congratulations for Jamie Creech beating up on Justin Bell, because if he's not going to log in, I'm not going to root for him. So anyhow, moving forward, we've got our game of the week for last week, the Couch Bowl.
Woo!
Couch Bowl 4 early this year. Fort Wadsworth in a walk, 91-63 over the Nanomites.
Typical.
Listen to him quietly running smack over there about God.
I'd like to say that at least this year, if Debbie had played everybody correctly, she'd have won, but you're not going to start Moncrief. You're just not going to start him there.
No. You don't think that a guy's going to have his breakout game against that Jets secondary, but he was the guy that they kind of left alone and said, he's going to have to beat us. Mm-hmm. And even though he did a few times, it wasn't nearly enough. Debbie actually had the negative kicker with Adam Vinatieri this week. Negative 2 points for Vinatieri.
I heard about that.
Only 4 points out of the Rams defense, which is a major come down for them. not surprisingly, 10 points out of DeQuell Jackson, the linebacker for the Colts, stopping all those runs against the Jets. 20 out of Emmanuel Sanders. Lost Drew Brees in the loss to Tampa
Drew
Bay.
Drew Brees is out for a week, at least.
At least a week, but Joe Flacco has been outperforming him anyway, so that's probably an improvement for Debbie. Gary Gatso, tell us about Eli Manning.
No turnovers. Consistent play. A consistent fantasy player. What can I say?
Who was it that said that was your man?
That was you, Mike.
That's right. That was me. 17 points for the Gronk, helping to lead the charge again. And just okay performances at everybody else. 91's a good score.
A lot of nines.
You're not setting the world on fire. Lots of eights, lots of nines. You know, the always good decision to sit Nick Foles after a Rams win. Because the Rams don't do winning streaks. They do wins, but they don't do winning streaks. And believe me, we got to hear about that in the newspapers for a week. So how do we feel after four or five? I forget how many Couch Bowls you won in a row at this point.
What's on your mind, four in a row? We actually went back in history, and we found the first Couch Bowl that I beat her at, and I beat her by 10. She loved me digging up that piece of history. How do I feel? 91 points. Anytime you get close to 100, I feel good. I think I have a team that could make the playoffs this year. It's still early. I still have to get through Jamie's Boss Fight t-shirts.
Gary, don't worry. I'll score 109, but that week you can have 154.
Thank you,
no problem, buddy.
That'll be the week.
I got you.
200 yards and 5 scores.
I got you, Gary.
Thank you.
Eli Manning setting the record with 8 touchdowns in the first half. What week do you play, Jamie?
I don't know.
We need to go ahead and just warn the opponent the Giants I have that week. That's the week that Eli is going to light them up.
Okay.
Watch it turn out to be like somebody really good.
So let's look at the standings for the very first time this year, Mike.
Yeah, well, the first meaningful time. We've got three teams at 2-0. Your Fort Wadsworth Warriors, the Springfield Teal Ninjas, we talked about their rampage earlier, 2-0. And outscoring everybody else at this point. 238 points. No, I'm sorry. That's not them. They got 215 points. Darkloni, actually, 238 points. 215 points through 2 weeks is a heck of a score. Darkloni is padded a little bit by that huge week one outburst.
Woo!
And then, you know, Zach Hoffman, Seattle Dreadnoughts, 2-0. On the other end of things, the 0-2 teams. Of course, Debbie's Paris Dynamites. Ty Sams and the Chuckbusters. Come on, Ty. Come on, brother.
Come on, man!
You got to turn that around. And Jamie Johnson, Gary's Boss Fight t-shirt.
Let's do this. Gary 2-0 with 188 points. I'm 0-2 with 186 points. Gary's had 144 scored against him. I have 255.
Defense, baby. Defense.
You got to get some hats on the linebacking core, man. You guys got to bring your lunch pail.
Let's tell the poor New Orleans Saints in week 8 that Eli's going off.
Wow. That actually could happen. That New Orleans secondary is dipped in kerosene.
Where's it at?
Doesn't matter. New Orleans is bad. Doesn't matter. I'm not saying the Giants leave and win that game necessarily, but yeah, the torching is going to happen. So get ready for that, Jamie.
Oh, I'm excited. For fans out there, for my own personal favorite, Russell Wilson's probably going to have a 30-point day against the Bears. LeSean McCoy's going to get on track against Miami. Amari Cooper's going to continue his hot streak. See, Stevie Johnson's due. LeGarrette Blount probably good for a couple touchdowns against Jacksonville. And the Ravens will pitch a shutout against the Bengals.
Wow. All right, but you're not bitter, and that's what's important.
But hey, could we use this so we know that I'm going to give up tons of points? We need to bet in Vegas for real.
He's got something there, Gary.
He does.
Now we have a plan. We'll settle the details on that, and let's look forward to week 3.
Week 3 in progress.
Already in progress. Yes, we'll get to the most notable one in a moment. But first off, we've got the RHPs in Paris.
Oh wow!
Across the ocean. To see the Nanomites in a battle of underscoring teams. Nobody's played yet, so naturally this is scoreless. Of course, half of their games could be over, and this game might be scoreless. In this one, the line on this one is RHPs by 18. Wow. What advice you got for the wife, Gary?
Play hard.
Yeah, he's kind of a isn't he?
Yes, he is. Ladies, he is not available.
I don't think anybody is terribly upset about that. So we've also got Oregon Outpost taking their show on the road to see the Juggernaut Teal Ninjas. 2-0 Teal Ninjas. Avenge the Chucko!
Even game here, folks.
Kind of a pick 'em. It's actually 788, favored by 4 points. It's tough to guess with the Teal Ninjas. We don't really know what Teddy Bridgewater is yet this season. I have a feeling he's going to be okay. He's going to get low 20s most weeks. But the Antonio Brown juggernaut is not going to stop at any point this season. He's got a good defense against the Rams this week, and he's still going to, I mean, from the receiver spot, he's going to get 20 points. On the other side of things, Oregon Outpost does see Ben Roethlisberger, so most of his handiwork is going to help Oregon Outpost as well, with Ben Roethlisberger as the guy getting him the football. It'll be interesting. He's got a lot going on the Denver-Detroit game as well.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, just he's rooting for the offense.
You'd expect the Bills' defense to rebound against Miami.
Yeah, they're going to come back and not be two in the hole. Tannehill's had a pretty good year to this point, so Miami's not going to roll over for them, but they're not going to stink on ice like they did. But speaking of defenses, you know, Springfield does have the Broncos. We'll see if they can keep their run going of just throwing big points on the board. Pyramid of Touchdowns comes to visit the screen printer of Gary and my t-shirt. Jamie, you're out to an early lead. You got 16-0. But the bad news is you've had two guys play, and you only got 16 points on the board.
Well, I'm going to struggle at the tight end position all year.
I think he's going to score more with his tight end position than Delaney Walker.
It had to hurt to watch Larry Dunnell drop that touchdown pass, though.
Yeah. ODB got me one at the end, so we're doing okay.
He got you 13. He's doing his job.
Bishop Sankey against the Colts defense, so we're looking for a breakout performance there. But ultimately, at the end of the day, let's face it, I'm going to give up 110 points.
Breakout performance for Bishop Sankey would be 80 yards and a score?
I'm looking for 205 and 3. Looking for 205 and 3.
Oh.
A career day for the Sank.
Hey, Gary, could you pass along to Debbie? Could you let her know that I have picked up Pete Garçon?
Peter Waiter.
We got to Sank the Tank. What is he? I don't know. Moving forward, we've got the New England Bazookas flying to Charlottesville to see the Keel Hauls. Both of them have had players go in this game. The Keel Hauls are up 9-2 in the partial score there. Keel Hauls have only had one guy play, so that 9 points is okay. Jordan Reed, with a good performance against the Giants, got him 9 points. Justin's had two players go, one of which being DeSean Jackson, who did not play. Log in, Justin!
Justin.
And the other one being Alfred Morris, who didn't get, he got about 8 touches, netting him 2 points. So,
Justin,
thanks for supporting the league, Justin. We appreciate it.
Justin
Bell.
Yeah, you're going to have to get off that Alfred Morris train. It looks like the Washington Redskins have not only washed their hands of RG3, they're about to wash their hands of Alfred Morris.
Well, he's getting in there. It's just they're rotating three backs in to get touches.
He's got Matt Jones.
Matt Jones had twice as many touches. That's not a good sign.
It wasn't quite that much of a disparity.
Yeah, it was, Mike. It was 12-6.
12-6? I thought it was like 12-8.
Six totes of the rock.
All right, yeah, that's not so good. That's definitely number two status at best.
I'm expecting Jeremy Hill to rebound here against the Ravens' run defense for 18 points.
18 points, huh?
18 points.
That seems oddly specific. Anyhow, moving forward, Buffalo on the road to see the Chuckbusters. Another pick'em game, 1-1. The Buffalo Wild Bills are scoring a lot of points. The Chuckbusters are not. And again, the Andrew Luck conundrum continues to plague the Chuckbusters. But Andrew Luck can turn it around pretty quickly, which is good.
He is playing the Titans.
They are playing the Titans, so worst case scenario, it's going to be a shootout. Because, wow, that Titans team can't tackle anybody. Both teams, full roster still to go on this one. Nobody's played. And then we've got the horror show in Darklonia for the Privateers. Privateers have an early 12-1 lead. Josh Brown with 12 points. Big week for the Giants there Thursday night. He's off to a good start. He's hit, his first 9? Something crazy like that. Josh Brown, he doesn't kick that well. And then lastly, the game of the week. Seattle Dreadnoughts on the road to Fort Wadsworth. 2-0 versus 2-0. Somebody's coming off of the heap today. Gary's off to an early 23-0 lead thanks to Eli Manning. Seattle hasn't had anybody play, obviously, so that kind of makes it a little bit... Gary's going to take bragging rights for a couple days there, but doesn't really matter that much. Seattle favored by 8. Gary, your thoughts?
Doesn't matter.
So I when I get into the What's on Joe Mind email, I'm not going to see you sending emails of advice to Zach Hoffman, am I?
Not in this game.
I'm just saying. You're not going to be sending fake ones either, are you? here, Zach. Tebow.
Come on, Johnny Manziel's there on the bench.
Manziel is not starting this week.
Starting.
But he could start him if he wants.
Yeah, the Cleveland Browns, in their eternal wisdom, finally starting to get the Manziel machine going. Let's sit him for Josh McCown. Josh McCown showed us a whole lot in Tampa last year. Let's get him back out there. Josh McCown carries a clipboard like a professional.
So there we have it.
That's the slate next week.
Week 2 preview in progress.
Yeah, it's Friday. We normally record this show on Tuesday. And somehow Gary will magically make this appear on Saturday either way, which makes us wonder what he's doing most other week.
Wrap it up.
Gary, your closing thoughts for this week.
I'll come out of week 3 undefeated. I see a lot of 1-2 teams. It's still too early, and that's the same thing we had last year at the league. A lot of parity. It wasn't until week 6, 7, 8 that we finally had some separation from the pack. I think it's going to be a repeat of last year.
Jamie, what are your thoughts on the league and the NFL in general?
I think for pride's sake, I'd love for Gary to lose and for me to win, but at this point in time, for podcast gold, let's hope that I score 120 points and lose by 4. Let's just keep this crazy train rolling where Jamie scores the second or third most points and loses anyway.
That would be some really recording gold right there.
Podcast gold.
We would have to get Chuck a team next year so Jamie could lose to him too. We apologize again for bringing you the What's on Joe Mine Fantasy Football League podcast. For my co-hosts, Jamie Johnson, Gary Gonzo. I just realized I'm the only one that doesn't have double initials.
That just means you weren't invented by Stan Lee. That's all that means, Mike.
True, it means I have no superhero alter ego. But for Jamie Johnson, Gary Gonzo, I'm Mike Irizarry. Welcome. Thank you for listening to the What's on Joe Mine Fantasy Football League Week 2 in review. Remember our motto.
Beat Jamie. Beat Chuck. Just by playing.
Good night, everybody.